Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
I'm just going to kind of like go right into the message, okay? Because I can feel like there's like the settling in. God's just done like a little preparation here on our hearts today. And I want us just to go right into this. We're finishing up this series called The Now and The Not Yet. And throughout this series, we've talked about the tension of being like dual citizens, really. That's what we've been talking about, is how we are citizens here on earth. Citizens of the United States or whatever country we're a citizen of. But yet, when we step into relationship with Jesus, when we say yes to his gift of salvation, when we say yes to him being the leader of our life, we're also becoming a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, the not yet. We're living now, but we're living for the not yet. So there's this tension of like, how do we handle this? Because here we are now, but we're going for what we don't see. And there's this tension in this world that we live in. And typically we end a series going back to our theme for the year. Now go. And I was like trying, well actually, let me just give you a little bit of background here. I wasn't even supposed to preach today. Pastor Avi was on the docket to preach today, and she was sharing with me on Tuesday, I think. She was like, I am struggling with this passage. Like, I can't wrap my head around it. Like, I just feel like I'm not getting clarity. And usually, like, as a lead pastor, when someone on the speaking team shares that with you, that usually means, like, you're probably supposed to speak it. You're probably like you probably passed the baton to someone else. It's a message that you're supposed to speak. And so I asked Ava, like, do you want me to take it? And she's like, no, I don't wanna put that on you. And I said, No. Do you want me to take it? She's like, yeah, yeah, I do. I'm like, okay. So I start studying the passage and I'm trying to like make it tie into now go with obedience, discipline, and sacrifice. And on Wednesday night, we met here for worship night. If you were here on Wednesday night for worship night, woo! Right? We left on Wednesday night going, I don't think that's our last worship night. Right? I don't think that's going to be the last one. But so there was a group of us that met an hour beforehand, and we were just praying. And we were actually walking around the perimeter of the church on our own. And God just starts speaking to me about this. He's like, you're trying to do something that I don't want to do. You're trying to make it fit something that I don't want it to fit in. I want to talk to you about this. And so I like put away, like just put the now go aside. I was like, okay, what do you want to say to me about this? Because this passage really is talking to us about the responsibility of the now. What it looks like to live now, in the now. And what that looks like, the responsibility that we have to the now and to the not yet. But it's the responsibility. Here's our passage. As we end Matthew chapter 17, we come to this wild and crazy passage. You ready? It's weird. Here we go. On their arrival in Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, Peter replied. Then he went into the house. But before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, what do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people? Or do the people they have conquered? Well, they tax the people they have conquered, Peter replied. Well then, Jesus said, the citizens are free. But, however, we don't want to offend them, so go down to the lake and throw in a line. Open the mouth of the first fish you catch and you'll find a large silver coin. take it, and pay the tax for both of us. That's it. That's the passage. Weird, right? What in the world? Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about this tax, this temple tax. And already I felt it in first service and I feel it this service. I could feel like, oh goodness, we're going to talk about money. Okay, I just had oh, we're going to talk about money, right? Had a White Chicks moment in my head. If you haven't seen White, I'm not going to recommend it. Never mind. Keep going. Go, go, keep going, Paula. Shoot those rabbits. This was not about the tithe. This temple tax was not about the tithe. Okay? We're going to talk about the tithe. Get ready. Okay? The tithe was a requirement and is still a requirement of God in order to care for the priests and the ministry of the church. This was an additional tax that was implemented for the upkeep of the temple and its provision. It was required of all Jewish males ages 20 and over. We find it in Exodus chapter 30. It was originally done so that they only collected during a census year. That means a year that they did all, we all know what a census is, when they did all the counting. But then it was changed back in the time of the prophet Nehemiah to every year during Passover. And the Levites were exempt from paying this tax because they served as the priests in the temple. So the Levites didn't pay the tax. This event is only mentioned in the book of Matthew. It's not mentioned in any other gospel, not Mark, not Luke, not John. Although all of those books give an eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life on earth, Matthew is the only one that mentions this situation with the temple tax. And I was thinking about it this morning, God dropped this on me as I'm preaching in first service. Why would Matthew hone in on this idea of the temple tax? Any idea? Matthew was a tax collector, right? That was his thing. Before he started following Jesus, he was a tax collector, not a temple tax collector. No, he was actually considered the lowest of the low by his people because he was a Roman tax collector. That means he was collecting the taxes of his people to pay to the country that had overtaken them, Rome. He was a traitor in their eyes, right? But Matthew honed in on this idea of the temple tax. And there's a few things that are of significance here that stuck out to me. Maybe different things will stick out to you. I don't know. Okay? But there's a couple of things that stuck out to me as significant in this passage. And right now, I can already tell as we step into this place where we're in church and we're talking about money, and there might be some of you in here that are like, ugh. That might be your heart. As soon as we start talking about money in church, it's there's this twinge, okay? So right now, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'll flow through me. That the words that come out of my mouth won't be the words of Paula, but they'll be your words straight from your heart. God, I pray that you will open up hearts and minds to hear what you're speaking today. God, that if there's things in our lives that you're challenging us with to go further, to go deeper, to step out in obedience, discipline, and sacrifice in, that God, we will be obedient to that and that we will listen to what you're saying. God, let me go away and let yourself present in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to say the same thing that I said during first service because as I wrote this message days ago, even over the past 24 hours, God's just kind of been downloading more and more. And so if at some point I pause during the message, please don't get uncomfortable. I'm just listening to what Holy Spirit is saying that he wants me to release, okay? So don't get uncomfortable. The first thing that I notice about this passage is this. Jesus already knows our inner struggles. He already knows it. So it's nothing we have to hide from him. We don't have to be embarrassed about it because he already knows what we're thinking and what we're struggling with. How do I know this? Because if we go back to our anchor passage, Peter is a little uncomfortable, okay? The temple tax collectors came to Peter and said, hey, doesn't your teacher pay this tax? And Peter, here's what I'm thinking. Maybe he's never seen Jesus pay it. Maybe Jesus hasn't paid it. Maybe he's unsure. So he doesn't like want to start a fight, so this is what it does. Yes? Bye. And shuts the door really fast. And then he's stuck here in this place. And he's uncomfortable because there in front of him is his teacher, his master, the one that he recognizes as the Son of the Living God, come to earth. He's the Messiah. And he's looking at him going, how do I even ask this question? I don't even talk to him about this. I don't know what to say. I'm embarrassed. I don't know. I don't want to offend him. And there's this inner struggle going on with Peter. And it says, before he even had a chance to speak, Jesus asked, what do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they've conquered? So Jesus just lays it out there. I see what you're struggling with. I can see it. I already know. Let's talk about it. You see, Jesus was Peter's rabbi. And in the Jewish custom, men would study under their rabbis, under their teachers. This was like a point of almost like bragging rights. They would sit around and like talk about the rabbi that they studied under. And here's Peter with his rabbi, the Son of God. And he's like, I'm not going to talk to him about this. He didn't have to. Jesus brought it up. Jesus brought it up. He said, like, let's talk. He ended the inner struggle. In Psalms 139, verses 1 through 4, it says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. Maybe you need to hear that today. He knows everything about you. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. Listen, this doesn't mean like a great distance, physical distance has come between the writer of the Psalms and God. He's saying, when I'm actually going the opposite way of your plan, you still know what I'm thinking. When I am far away from you spiritually, you still know what I'm thinking. You still know who I am. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. What am I going to say? You know everything I do, and you know what I'm going to say even before I say it. It's pointless to try to hide from Jesus. It's pointless to try to hide our struggles from Jesus. It's pointless to try to hide what's bothering us from Jesus because he already knows what's going on. So just talk to him about it. It's pointless for us to hide our disappointment from Jesus. So talk to him about it. Bring it up to him. He wants to talk to you about it. He wants to end the struggle, just as he ended the struggle for Peter. What do you think? What do you think, Peter? Let's talk. And then we come to this place where Jesus tells Peter to obey the authority of the now until the not yet comes. That's really essentially what Jesus is saying to Peter. Obey the authority of the now. Do everything that's asked of you in the now until the not yet comes. Jesus asks him, who pays taxes? Who does the king tax? His own people? Or the people of the country that they've conquered? And Peter answers him with, well, it's the people that they've conquered. And Jesus says, then the citizens are free. However, we don't want to offend them. Wouldn't it be so great to say this? I am a citizen of heaven. My citizenship belongs in heaven. It's in the not yet. So I am exempt of paying taxes on earth. Wouldn't that just be great? Like, this is my argument as to why I don't pay taxes. I don't pay taxes because I'm a citizen of heaven. And then you wind up in prison for tax evasion, right? Listen, Jesus models right here that our identity as citizens of heaven can't cause us to become prideful or arrogant, but it should cause us to be obedient and humble. Okay, this is where it's going to get uncomfortable. Are you ready? Because Jesus takes this a step farther, and in Mark, it's addressed like this. In Mark chapter 12, verses 13 to 17, later, the leaders sent some Pharisees and supporters of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. Look, they're trying to use Jesus' character against him. We know how honest you are. You are impartial and don't play favorites. You teach the way of God truthfully. I mean, they're like buttering him. They're like, we see you. We know who you are. Now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Remember, Caesar had taken over their country. Should we pay them or shouldn't we? Jesus is so good. Jesus saw right through their hypocrisy and said, why are you trying to trap me? Show me a Roman coin. And I'll tell you. So they handed it to him, and he asked, whose picture and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Get ready, you're going to get really challenged right now. And give to God what belongs to God. His reply amazed them. We live here. We live in the now. We have an expectation to pay taxes to our government. And if we don't pay them, there's a penalty to pay. We also are citizens of the not yet. And we have a responsibility and to be obedient to what God has asked us to do. And that is tithe. I love you. This morning, as we were in prayer at the 9:15 prayer, I was sharing with everyone that I was really mad that I had to speak on this. Like, I'm like, this is something that Pastor Jason should be talking about. That's how he thinks. That's how his mind operates. That he's on the business side of things. He understands how to communicate this. He should be into this, not me. And you know, like, listen, your pastors are just as open to words of knowledge as you should be. And Josh came up to me at the end of prayer and he said, you know, this is what God was, I really felt God was saying this to me, is that the father of the house, like, presents the standard. This is what we do in our house. But it's the mother of the house that teaches it. Oh. Oh. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. I needed that. Here's what I want you to hear right now in this. Is that as citizens of heaven, you and I have a responsibility as well, just as much as we do as citizens on earth. And our responsibility and what God expects from us as citizens of heaven is to provide for the house in which he feeds us from. So if you're sitting here today and you haven't quite decided, like, I don't know. I don't know if Hope City is the place for me. I don't know. I haven't decided that Hope City is my home church. Then this doesn't apply to you. You should probably come to party with the pastors the first Sunday of next month to find out if Hope City is the place for you. But if you're past that point, you are here on a regular basis. You are gleaning from all the things that Hope City offers through the presence of God, from worship to the teaching of the word to life groups to the equipping messages that are happening. Then you're a citizen of Hope City. And God says that you are to provide for the work of the ministry that happens at Hope City. That's what your tithe does. That's what God asks us for. And I know that some people are in this room and there's this indignation that comes up. Like, ugh, church and money. Then I think the question that you need to ask Jesus is, where did I learn the lie that the church is all about money? And who do I need to forgive? And what's the truth? Because our tithe that we give through the church of our planting, and listen, if Hope City isn't where you're going to be planted, then you need to find the place where you're going to be planted and give it. That's fine. If that's not Hope City, then find the place and get planted and be obedient to what God calls you to do. I don't know. I didn't say that during first service. So that was a second service thing. Okay? But there's a blessing that can only come through the obedience of us stepping out and doing what God has asked. Now, maybe you're like, 10% is a lot. Good, start with 2%. That's what Pastor Jason always says. Start with 2% and see what happens. Here's what I can promise you, is that he will always show up and he will provide for you in a way that you was never expecting. It might not always be in the form of money as a monetary return. Sometimes it will be. Sometimes you'll get unexpected checks in the mail. Sometimes you'll get unexpected money in your bank accounts. Sometimes that is how it will look. But another thing that was shared during prayer this morning is that in the book of Malachi, when God talks about the promise that comes through our obedience, he says, I'm going to keep the devourer away from you. And in those days, they considered the devourer the locusts that would come and destroy their crops, which was what? Their income. That was their income. And God said, I will keep the devourer from you. Well, in today's economy, it might look like this. My washing machine lasts for 25 years instead of 5 years. Because listen, we live in this disposable society. And I don't know about you, but I have found that our stuff doesn't last like it used to last. right? So maybe it looks like my washing machine keeps running. Man, I have this old beater car and it's still running. I don't know why my gas tank isn't moving like it should be, but my gas is beat. Like I have more gas than I should. Like, do you see what I'm saying? He shows up in ways that we don't understand. We might get a promotion that we had no idea we were getting, a raise that we had no idea was coming. He shows up in ways that proves, like, hey, I'm keeping the devourer away from you. Maybe you're sitting in this room and you're like, I don't have any problems financially. I don't give, and I am just fine. Then my question would be this. Where's that provision coming from? Is it coming from the enemy who's like, I really like the way you're going, keep going, and I'm going to make sure you have the money to fund it? That just came down. Where's that coming from? Let me fund your sin. It's not in my notes. Just so you know, that's not in my notes, okay? But if you're not living in the way that God has called you to live, and yet you still have like, you're doing really great, I'd be saying, who's funding your sin? But I know this, Jesus will provide through our obedience. I'm guessing that probably another reason Peter was a little hesitant about answering the question when the temple tax collectors asked him about it, maybe he didn't have the money on hand for that temple tax. And he was like, I don't know what to say. And Jesus says this, hey, I want you to go down to the lake. I just had a word of knowledge from Father God that there's a fish right there by the bank that has a coin in his mouth. Go throw your line in and that fish is gonna bite on that hook. Pull that coin out and take it and pay the tax. God knows exactly what we need and he's moved by our obedience, okay? However, let me just say this. We can't be frivolous and undisciplined, and then expect him to show up and pay our bills. All right? Listen, we can't be like, I'm going to Dutch Bros every single day and spending $10 on coffee, and then I'm going out for lunch, and then, oh my gosh, I don't have enough money to pay my light bill. Hope City Helps. Can you pay it for me this month? I'm just saying, like, that's not how God works. And then we get offended when your pastors and the trustees are looking over and be like, let me help you with a budget. I don't want you to budget for me, then spend your money the right way. We can't expect him to show up if we're not being obedient, disciplined, and sacrificial. We can't expect him to show up if we're just doing what we want to do. Back in 2018, Jason and I received a royalty check from 20th Century Fox. Some of you are familiar with this. For those of you who are not, I'm going to quickly tell you this. When we were pastoring in St. Louis, a miracle happened in that church. A young boy was raised to life again. He was healed miraculously of being dead for an hour. And Jason was part of that. And this young boy's mom wrote a book about everything that happened. And then 20th Century Fox picked up this story and wrote a movie called Breakthrough. It's powerful. It's a powerful testimony. Well, in Hollywood, when they use something from your life to create their story, they pay you what's called royalties. Because we were part of this story, they used our names, they paid us a royalty check. Now please, we did not get Hollywood payment. It certainly wasn't like six figures, okay? But it was a nice chunk of change. And we received information, albeit false information, that you don't have to pay taxes on royalty money. And how many of you know, like, when you hear, even if it's false information, if it's false information in your favor, you're like, great. Right? I'm not going to do any research. That's what they said. I'm going with it. And we did. And we took that check and we paid off debt. And it was gone. And 5 years later, we receive a letter from the IRS how we are delinquent in our taxes. And from all of the penalties, the back pays, maybe interest was included. I don't know if they tax you on, if they charge you interest on unpaid taxes. But it was over $30,000 that they wanted from us. And listen, we were in a little bit of a panic. We were in a panic. Like, remember I told you, like, we paid off debt with that money and it was gone. We didn't have $30,000 laying around. And I mean, the words bankruptcy came out of our mouths a few times, like, this might be what we're looking at. And it was our own fault. There was no one else to blame except for us. We took information and we ran with it. And we didn't even look back once. And so we just started praying, like, God, first of all, there was a repentance that had to happen. God, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. We were disobedient. We didn't even do the research to find out if that information was accurate. It sounded good. That's what we did. It's our fault. Can you just help us? Like, give us some wisdom on what we need to do here. You know, it would be really nice if I said to you, and miraculously the bill was paid, or miraculously we found $30,000 to give to the United States government. That's not the end of the story. The end of the story is we contacted a tax attorney who was very wise and had a lot of just past wisdom on these kind of situations. She was able to, like, click a couple of buttons and be like, and lower it down to a swallowable amount. We're like, okay, we could get set up on a payment plan and take care of that piece. And we did. It was our responsibility. We were in the wrong. But God still gave us grace and favor to take care of it once it came to our attention. Here's what I want you to know. Whatever your financial situation is, He wants to move on your behalf. He does. He wants to move on your behalf. It's like it's in His heart. But He needs you to be disciplined and obedient in the now and in the not yet. He needs it. Being disciplined and obedient looks like this. A one-time obedience saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to give this much. That's obedience. Being disciplined is, God, I'm going to give this much every month. Every time I get paid, this is what I'm giving back to you. And yeah, it hurts a little bit. I'm sacrificing. But the blessing on the other side is worth it. Because He cannot bless disobedience. He can't. He will not bless selfishness. But He will move on your behalf. He will. In Philippians 4, verse 19, it says, my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. His riches in glory are way better than my riches on earth. And when he steps in and moves on my behalf and pulls from his riches in glory, ooh, it's way better than my riches on earth could ever be. I don't know about you, but I've got to a place in my life like I could go without anything. I'll go without food, but I want his presence. I want his glory. Nothing compares to what he has to offer me. But I have to be willing to be obedient to what he requires. I'm going to invite everyone to close their eyes right now. This is a funny message to give a salvation invitation, but we will never close a message at Hope City without giving that opportunity. And maybe you're in this room and you recognize it. You are a citizen on earth, but you have not yet claimed your citizenship in heaven. And today, that's your first step of obedience, is claiming that citizenship, saying yes to Jesus, saying, I'm going to choose to follow you. I'm going to accept your forgiveness. I'm going to start living my life for the kingdom that is to come and not for myself anymore. If that's you today and you want to say yes to Jesus, will you just raise your hand for me? One. Ha ha! Come on! I want you to go back and see the people back at Next Steps when we finish today. They're going to pray with you. They're going to get you connected. They're going to talk to you what the next steps look like. If you are struggling in this place, you are struggling with being obedient in the area of your finances, I'm going to ask you to take a bold step and stand up. If that's you and you are struggling with obedience and finances, I want you to stand right now. Wow. Father, right now, I pray over every, like, these people are honest. God, right now, I just pray over each and every person that is standing. You see their heart. You see where they are. God, if there's a lie that they're believing about giving to you, giving back to you, giving through the church that they call home, will you show them where that lie first took place? Will you show them who they need to forgive? Will you teach them the truth? And God, I just pray right now today that you will put a number on their mind that says, hey, I want you to give this much and just see. Just see. Just see what happens. See what I can do. Give them a number. I'm going to invite everyone to stand with us now. Father, as we leave this place today, may we be challenged to be good citizens of the now and be faithful citizens of the not yet as you teach us, guide us, and change us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.